for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, December the 26th, 1993. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
So this afternoon I'm going to take up about curses. When I first heard or thought about it, I didn't believe that any Christian could have a curse on them. But since then I've come to understand that there are three types of curses. There are curses that the Scripture tells us that we're under, which I didn't believe. Then there are curses that we come under because somebody curses us. Then there are curses we come under because we curse ourselves. You can curse yourself just as easily as somebody else can curse you. And of course, coming under the curses that are in the Scriptures is because you disobey the word of the Lord, or because your ancestral heritage has disobeyed the word of the Lord. And I'm of the belief that most of our sicknesses and the problems, the majority of them go back into our ancestral bloodline. And I'm going to show you by the Scripture this afternoon that that is true. And I'm going to tell you how we came to understand and change our thinking to the Scripture. Scripture tells us that the sins of the fathers are carried to the third and the fourth generation. In another place it says to the tenth generation. And so we're going to look at that this afternoon. And we're going to start with Leviticus chapter 3. Because this is how the Lord brought us and brought me and brought the Irma and I into the understanding of the reality of curses. In Leviticus chapter 3, verse 13 reads, "And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar around about." Now, what has that got to do with curses? Well, I was teaching one night. We were looking at the applications of the blood of the Lord Jesus and the scriptural basis of the blood of Jesus in the Scriptures. And this is one verse that we used here, where they sprinkled the blood, where the priest sprinkled the blood. And there are five scriptural applications of the blood of Jesus. And there is a sixth that has been propagated down through the years in the Pentecostal and Baptist heritage. And that statement is, "I plead the blood." And we were dealing with these areas, and the statement, "I plead the blood," is unscriptural. And there's no scriptural basis for it. And when you deal with demonic forces and with the demon spirits, and you use that scripture, sometimes they will laugh at you because you have no scriptural basis. The only thing that the demon has to obey is it is written and correctly. And if you use the scripture incorrectly or use a crochet that is not scriptural, they do not have to pay attention to you. And so we were studying the applications of the blood of Jesus and why the statement, "I plead the blood," is unscriptural. You know why it's unscriptural? It's unscriptural because the blood of Jesus is a free gift given as a gift. And we don't plead and beg for something that's given to us as a free gift. And there's no scriptural basis. But there are five scriptural bases for the blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to give you the scriptures for them. We're going to take all the time we've got this afternoon for what we're talking about. And then we've probably run out of time before we get finished. But you can apply the blood of Jesus. You want to make a note? You can apply the blood of Jesus. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. Appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. You can sprinkle with the blood of Jesus, which scripture I just read. You can sprinkle. That's four. There's one more. It's found in Revelations 12, 11, and 12, and in other places. And what does it say? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can wash with the blood of Jesus. So you can use these five applications of appropriations of the blood of Jesus in dealing with deliverance or with healing and their scripture. But we were studying that. That's what we were studying. And I read this verse here, the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Leviticus, as a basis for one of our scriptures of the study that night. And right across the page, on verse 6 of chapter 4, is another verse that is similar to this 13th verse. But I finished reading this chapter. It had nothing to do with our Bible study that night. But I finished reading the chapter. And so we'll finish reading it. It says, "And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the gall above the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." And so over here in the 6th verse of chapter 4, it says, "And the priest shall sprinkle the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." And I went on with my Bible study and did not know or realize that I had finished reading the chapter and did not understand what I had read and did not know why I had read it. There was about a dozen of us in the Bible study that night, sitting around the table here in the dining room. I don't know, remember which. And one of the ladies there, the Lord woke her up in the night and impressed upon her to find all the scriptures she could in the Bible about blood. And there are in both what some people call the old and the new, I call it the book, there are some 26 verses about blood and the eating of blood and refraining from blood. And she wondered, well, why, Lord, am I impressed to do this? And then the Lord reminded her that 2 days before, she had been to the doctor for a physical exam, hadn't had one for several years, and the doctor told her, had just called her at her house that day and told her she was a borderline diabetic. And then the Lord impressed upon her the history of her family. Her great-grandmother had died of sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died of sugar diabetes. Her mother had died of sugar diabetes. She had two sisters who had sugar diabetes, and one of them had already lost one foot to sugar diabetes. And then the Lord reminded her that now the doctor had told her that she's a borderline sugar diabetic. And the Lord impressed upon her that she had an inherited family curse in her line. Now, she didn't know anything about what she was receiving, and I knew nothing of it. And the Lord impressed on her that if she would come and ask me to pray for her and break the curse off of her, that the Lord would set her free. We had a prayer meeting Saturday night, and she came and didn't say a word. Sunday morning, we had praise and worship like we did this morning. And there was about 25 or so of us here, and there's just a small group of us here when in between camp meetings, mostly just us on the campground and our dear, sweet, faithful Fern and Herman and Elsie are basically our congregation. And so I said, "Anybody have a special prayer request?" And she put up her hand. And I said to her, "Say on." And she said what I have told you. And then she said, "The Lord impressed upon me that if you would pray for me and break the inherited curse off of me that I have inherited from my family, that the Lord would heal me. And here is why she had the curse. Her great-grandmother had made blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. Her grandmother had done likewise, and she doesn't remember ever her mother doing it, but her mother had eaten it from her mother, her grandmother. And the Lord impressed on her that she had a curse come down the family line because they had disobeyed the word of God and had eaten blood sausage and blood pudding, and it came from this verse which says, it shall be a perpetual statute. Perpetual is what? Forever. It has no end. So you can't say that it doesn't apply to you, because it says it is perpetual. It applies to me and applies to you today, just as it did the day that Moses spoke it. Some say this is Old Testament. No, this is not Old Testament. This is the book. It is the book. That you shall eat neither fat nor blood. It says throughout all your dwellings. Now, the doctors have found out recently, which God told us here through Moses, that plaque and fat is causing heart problems and causing us to have bypasses and heart operations. But God told us that back here. But we're so rebellious that we don't have to pay attention to the Word of God, so we can do what we want and I can eat all the fat I want. Then he says you're not to eat blood. We're so rebellious that we can do that too, and it's fine. You know, in the slaughterhouses, there are a lot of men who have a cup sitting there. I've talked to men who drink hot blood as it comes right out of the animal. We were in right a little while after the Lord had showed this to us, and we were invited up into Nebraska, and we spoke at several full gospel meetings up there, chapter meetings throughout in Nebraska. And at one meeting there were, I mentioned this and made mention of it, and I didn't realize at the time that we were in the town called the Polish Capital of America. Up in Nebraska, there's a town that's considered the Polish Capital of America. And the Polish people all eat blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. And here I get up and open my mouth about this. And there were two ladies who were very obese and came up and wanted me to pray for them, in line to pray for them. But before they would let me pray for them, they wanted to argue with me that it was good, that blood soup was good energy, and blood sausage and blood pudding, that was Old Testament, and it didn't apply to today. Jesus did away with all that, and it didn't apply today. And they just kept, and I finally told them, I said, look, ladies, I'm not here to argue with you. And they all had heart trouble. They had high blood pressure. They had arthritis. And they had the sugar diabetes, both of them. Had all these things. And they wanted me to pray for them for all these problems. And finally I said, ladies, I'm not going to argue with you. Neither am I going to pray for you. There's a whole line of people here who want prayer, who want deliverance from doing this here. And I'm going to pray for them. I'm sorry. You go see Irma and talk to her. Irma says, thanks, Glenn. She was sitting over at the side. I said, you go talk to her, and she'll pray for you, but I'm not going to. And I moved them out of the line and went on. So I've been told that by others since then, but this was right after I hit the opposition head on. So you see, you can do what you want. So I had to find now, but when this happened that Sunday, she said, the Lord said, if you'll pray for me, the Lord will heal me. And I said, okay, if the Lord said so, I'll do it. So there was 9 people who stood up in the congregation and asked prayer. Now, some of you have heard this 2 or 3 times, but you can probably get up here and maybe fill in where I leave out. But we need to hear this again and again so that we get it down in our spirit. Just like what Irma's going to talk on tomorrow about, don't bring any abominable thing into your house, and how the Lord brought that to our understanding. So I prayed for him, but now then I've got a problem, you see, because my tradition told me that all these things were done away with when I got saved. It's all done away with. So I've got a problem. I've got to find out what's wrong with my theology and my a Pentecostal teaching. So I have to start looking. So I begin to find, and we're going to look at now at some of the things that I begin to find to show me that what the Lord had shown to her and why these curses still existed. So let's go over to Exodus chapter 20. And we'll start there in Exodus chapter 20. And in Exodus 20, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying." That's strange. I always heard, my tradition always taught me that was Moses. That Moses spoke all this stuff. That this is Moses' law. But it says here that God spoke this. But I've always heard that all this was Moses' law. So here I had some more tradition that I had to get rid of. Because I found that it's God speaking and not Moses. Moses is just God's mouthpiece repeating what God told Moses to say. So it's not Moses' law, it's God's law. And it says, and he says, "I am." You can't get any better than that. Because he said, "I am the I am that I am." Moses, you tell him that's who I am. "The Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of sin and out of the house of bondage. And you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image." Americans have lots of graven images. Automobiles and boats and football and basketball and bowling and all kinds. They've got all kinds of graven images. "Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Now, there's nothing wrong with the boat and the car and all of that if it's done in as its right place. And there's nothing wrong with fishing and hunting until it becomes your God and you stay home from church to watch the World Series when you're supposed to be in church. Then that's your God. Just plain and simple, that's your God. He says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those that do not obey my word." Now, King James says, "hate me." That is an erroneous translation. A correct translation is, "those that do not obey my word." So I've marked out in my Bible the words "that hate me," and have written in "that do not obey my word," for that is a correct translation. And that's what you should have there. And some of the translations translate it in that way, say that. But it goes on to say, "showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me," and do what? "Keep my commandments." Keep my commandments. And then it goes on and list what we know as the Ten Commandments. Okay, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, here we find that we pick up again in verse 9 this same phraseology. "Thou shalt not bow thyself down unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now, we're talking here about having other gods before us. We're talking about witchcraft and sorcery, and these things would fall into this category because that is another god. We're talking about heathen worship, and these areas, and disobeying the word of God. This is what we're talking about here. Listening to the third, we're talking about eating blood soup and eating fat in excess when the Lord says we're not supposed to, and we can inherit sugar diabetes and heart trouble, and we can inherit all these other areas because of disobedience to the word of God. They come down the family line. Joel tells us that in the last days he's going to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed. Now, I believe that we're at the day when the Lord's beginning to show us and bring to the understanding that the Lord is cleansing our blood so that we are not susceptible to these diseases and infirmities that are in the world. I believe that we are of it or in it, but not of it. And I believe as we come to the understanding of these things, we will have health in all of our flesh. I'm going to get sidetracked a lot as we go along here, so I'll... Anyway, I believe that if you die before you're 70 years old, God, the devil, Satan, has robbed you of your life. And I believe that we have a promise of 120. And I believe that by disobeying the word of the Lord and then not coming into repentance to it, that it gives Satan a right to you in areas of your life that can bring diseases and infirmities upon you. But if we take the word of the Lord and live in the light of it as we come to the understanding and knowledge of it and apply and appropriate it to us, we can come into new life and reverse the spirit of death that dwelleth in us. And I believe that as Moses was promised 120 years, and that promise has never been taken away, that we each one are entitled to 120 years of life. I believe that. And I declare that I shall live and not die. Come on, say that with me. I shall live and not die. Devil, I shall live and not die. Until the time that the Lord calls me home. I'll not die until that time. Devil, you'll not steal from me. Amen. Amen. And we can declare that. I declare that. And each one of us can declare that. But also we must apply and live to the best that we can understand of the word of the Lord. Now this afternoon, some of you are going to come into some new understanding that you're going to be responsible for the word of the Lord. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now, in this area we've looked at where God says that we're cursed to the third and the fourth generation. And I believe that all the sicknesses, the area of sicknesses, most of them fall in that category. Now, I believe that that sexual sicknesses and AIDS and these things fall in a ten generation curse. We'll get to that in time. But in Deuteronomy chapter 23, and we'll start with verse 2. Verse 1 applied to those who were a priest who could not be priest in the tabernacle. But verse 2 says, a bastard or an illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And Bill, will you get me a glass of water here? I'm pretty pleased. Now, so we understand here that an illegitimate child carries a 10-generation curse. We're going to get on to a little farther here, but I'll mention. I'm of the opinion, while I'm talking about it, I'll say it. I'm of the opinion, we'll look at it in a bit here, that everybody, every person is under the curse of incest. Dear Abby calls it the closet demon, incest. And I believe that every living person is under the curse of incest and the curse of the bastard until that is broken off of your family heritage. Why do I believe that? I believe because in 10 generations, somewhere, somebody has committed incest or there's been an illegitimate birth in your family line in 10 generations. And then Satan does another thing. He reproduces because of himself in the generations. To cause it to be reproduced so it carries for another ten generations. So what we have almost is a perpetual running curse of illegitimacy and incest. We have until it's broken. I'm of that belief. And I believe that this curse goes back for hundreds of generations, possibly, in our family lines. And we have been living under this and under the curse of it and unaware of it. And we wonder why these things take place or why somebody does something. They do it because they're driven by a demon spirit to reproduce it in the family line so that it can be carried on. So that Satan has his rights to hold onto the family to cause it to sin against God. Now, who is the Ammonite and the Moabite? Lot's children. So let's look, let's go back to Genesis 19, and we'll look and see the Ammonite and the Moabite are the descendants of Lot. And chapter 19, come on here. In verse 36 of 19, fills us in, and it says, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child of their father. What is it? Incest. Incest. They were child by incest. And God told us back over here, we just read, where they carry a 10-generation curse. So incest carries a 10-generation curse. And then it goes on to say that the firstborn was so-and-so and so-and-so. So incest is a 10-generation curse. Illegitimacy is a 10-generation curse. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 2. And I want to look at something here. We'll sidetrack for a minute and look at something and show you what I believe is an explanation for something that happened here in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Explain something that happened later on. You know, the children of Israel wanted a king, didn't they? And God said, well, Samuel, you give them a king. That's what they want. It's not my will, but they're demanding a king. So, Samuel, you give them a king. You give them Saul. Let him be king. But that's not my perfect will. But then later on we find that he says that David was a man after his own heart. Now, why didn't God give them David to be king instead of Saul? Did you ever figure that? Did you ever think of that and study the scripture to see why David wasn't king instead of Saul? It tells us right here in the scripture. That's right. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And in verse 3 it says, the sons of Judah were so-and-so. And verse 4 says, and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him, Judah, Phares, and Ziphrah, and all the sons of Judah were five. What's the line of David? Judah. And what's happened here? Incest. His daughter-in-law. He has twins. Now we can take these two and trace them a whole lot farther in something that is far removed from this, but they come back again in down through history. These two sons come back again and bring That's another thing. But anyway, if you go down through here and take a pencil and mark all of these, you will find that when we come down to Benjamin, or to Saul, when he was made king, the man who would have had to been king of the line of Judah was Jesse. But God couldn't make Jesse king, because if he had, he would have went contrary to his own law. For we have a line of incest here, which carries a 10-generation curse. And there was no way at that time for that curse to be broken. Do you know why there wasn't any way for it to be broken? Because Jesus had not yet become our curse. So that curse was in effect and could not be broken. So God could not break his own law by making Jesse king. He had to give king from... And he didn't make a king out of the line of Judah. He made a king, gave a king from another tribe, from the tribe of Benjamin. So, David could not be king. Jesse could not be king because Jesse is the ninth generation of this curse of incest. And David fulfills the 10-generation curse, and now David can now become king because the 10-generation curse has run out. And so now David can be king, a man after God's own heart. So, we'll carry on here. So we'll look at some of the things now that we can be cursed by. There's lots. Well, let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. And let's look here. We'll pick up in Leviticus. But as you study all these other little side things, rabbit trails, some people say, show up. And as you study, you see, uh-oh, something's the matter here. You start looking it up, and you find these little things that are there all the time, but we just have to dig and find them and then appropriate them. But back in Leviticus chapter 18 now, we find again that it says here, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now see, the Lord said it. It's not Moses' law, it's the Lord. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, or the land of sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances, or their laws, or regulations. You shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So if you want to live, then you learn, you study the word of the Lord and apply and live by the word of the Lord. By what it said. Verse 8, we're going to skip down through here. Verse 9 says, the nakedness of thy... I want to go back here to verse 6. Is that what I want? Yeah, verse 6. None of you shall approach unto any that is near of kin. In other words, he says, this you shall not do. You shall not do this. And in verse 9, it says, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Now that scripture is a compounded, I don't know how to put the English together, but that's a compound scripture, verse. Because it covers every aspect of a married family. It covers a father that is dead, and a mother who is left with children, and who remarries a man who has children, and they have children again. It covers the aspect of a woman who has died and leaves a man with children, and he marries another woman who has children, and they have children again. That little verse covers every aspect of it, so that it makes incest, a law of incest, in relationship to anyone of this family that is put back together again. It becomes a family, and any relationship, sexual relationship here, between any of this family is incest. And the word nakedness here, actually in the original, is sexual intercourse. You shall not have sexual intercourse, is what the word nakedness stands for. It's the way it's not translated correctly as it is in the original. And then we go on down to verse 19, and we'll read again. And it says, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness or have sexual relations with her as long as she's put apart for the time of her uncleanness or her monthly period. The Lord says, you shall not have relations with her. Then we go on down to verse 21, and it says, you shall not let your seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Abortion. No, that's the you shall not participate in abortion. And then verse 30. Well, wait a minute here. I missed one here. I want to read 22 and 23 also. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. This is an abomination, homosexuality, lesbianism. And verse 23 says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therein. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie therein. It is confusion. The Lord here says, see, all these things, he says, you shall not do these things. Bestiality. He says, you shall not do them. In verse 30, it says, therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. And verse 1 of chapter 19, verse 1 and 2 says, and the Lord again spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say, you shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, as I mentioned, that used to bother me, because I used to say, nobody can be holy. But I have found out that the Lord expects us to strive and try to determine to be holy. And when we err, we have an advocate with the Father, and we're to be quick to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and repent. Okay, we go over to chapter 20 now, and we pick up again in chapter 20 the same things that we have just went over in chapter 18. However, there's a different thing added to chapter 20. And we'll start with verse 1, and it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now here, abortion carries a death penalty. And I will set my face against that man, and will do what? Cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. But you notice it isn't only the children of Israel, it's all of those who are with them as well. That's in the congregation with them, implied to everybody, not just to the children of Israel. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He doesn't say keep them if you want to. Think about it, and if you think it's all right, why do it? That's not what he says. He said, you shall keep my statutes.
Yes,
amen. Jesus, no. But there's something else that he says here. Before he said, you shall not do these things. But you notice what he says now? He says, you will be cut off from among the people. Be cut off. Now, you can be cut off without being stoned. You get die of heart disease, die of sugar diabetes, die from AIDS, die from kidney problems or liver trouble or die from some blood disease or many other things. Over here in Deuteronomy, it lists a whole list. I think there's about 50-some items that it lists there that we can be cut off by, that we can get and be cut off from. Assumption and fever and blindness and all kinds of things that we can be cut off from the land of the living because we disobey the word of the Lord. So if we get sick, we need to first of all ask the Lord what's wrong with us so we can repent and get that cleared up, and then there's more likely to be healing for us. But we need to stand and declare that we'll obey the word of the Lord and we'll live and not die. Okay, verse 15 again says, If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. And you shall slay the beast. And if a woman lie with a beast, you shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And now here again we're back. And if a man shall take his sister, same little verse we read before, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see their nakedness, have sexual relations with them, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath covered his sister's nakedness, and he shall bear his iniquity. Again, it says they'll be cut off. Okay. Verse 18 says, And if a man lie with a woman having her monthly period, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You get sick and die. And I'll be frank with you. I never saw it, really read it and never saw it. Like I've read lots of things, like I've read what we're reading here, lots of things I've read lots of times and never saw what I read. But the Lord says here that in another place it says there's 7 days that's set aside for a woman's time of her period. But the Lord says that we're not to have sexual relations during the time when the woman has her menstrual period. And that we'll be cut off. Now, we have found that one of the main ways that people get cut off is they have prostate trouble, and woman has female problems. And if you have ever participated in that, you need to repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, then ask the Lord if you have any problems in this area, even if you don't have. Ask the Lord to forgive you and break any curse of female problems or prostate trouble. And break the curse of it off of you before it takes effect in your body, because you're subject to that curse if you have participated and done this when God says it's an abomination to Him. Okay, let's hurry on here. Verse 22 says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell in will not spew out of the land." And verse 26 says, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you shall be mine. And if a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, they shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them." Boy, we've got a lot of people involved in card reading and the zodiac and all of that, and it's all in all the newspapers. And the Lord wants you to ask Him to forgive you for reading it, and when you turn by it, say, "Lord, I curse that thing. I want no part of it, and have no part of it in the newspaper, because God says you're cursed for participating in it." Say, "Oh, I never thought anything about it. I just read it because it was there." Well, the next time you see it, you think something about it, and you don't read it because it's there, and ask the Lord to forgive you for reading it before. Okay, let's go over to Deuteronomy 27. You see, when I begin to study this about curses, all these things I found. And we're not through yet. In verse 20, chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, I find here that starting with the 19th verse, it says, "And Moses and the priests and Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God, and we are the people of the Lord. I profess and proclaim that I am a people of the Lord. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." And Moses charged the people, saying, that "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless, and then the other shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse," and specifies which tribe shall stand which. And then he goes on and he says, "Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in his secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen." And then he goes on and he says, "Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in his secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen." Now before, the Lord said, "You shall not do this." And then he said, "If you do it, you're to be put to death, or you'll die. Get a sickness and die." But now then, he says, "You're cursed if you do it." So now we come to the place where the three and four and ten generation curses come into being. God says here, "You're cursed." And he said, "Cursed be he that holds in light," the King James says, "that set by light his father," but the original says, "Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark." We don't have too much problem with that today, but we have because they had a pile of stones, and that was the landmark. Today, everything is in America surveyed, and that's another I can tell you, take you and show you where God says America would be surveyed. It's in Isaiah. "Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife," adultery, incest. "Cursed be he that lieth with a beast," bestiality. "Cursed be he that lieth with his sister," incest. "Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law," incest. "And cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person," murder. And then it says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." And all the people answered and said, "Amen." So God says if we don't obey the law, then we're cursed because we do not obey the law. that he has given to us here, that we're cursed. And then it goes on over, and there's more curses, and then it lists a pestilence that shall come upon us if we disobey the word of the Lord. And there are, I believe, there are 50-some items listed here in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy that God says that we'll be cursed with, consumption and burning and blasting and mildew and the botch and emrods, which is hemorrhoids, and madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, heart attacks, and so forth. But then in Malachi, we find some more curses. In the book of Malachi, there are curses that are listed here again, in addition to what we have read already. And we'll look at them real quick. In the first chapter of Malachi, the end of the verse, it says, "Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male," 14th verse of chapter 1 of Malachi, "his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am the Lord, a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So the Lord says that if you vow a vow to the Lord, make a vow to the Lord, and then break your vow, you're cursed. The Lord here is talking about them bringing an animal, a ram or a lamb or a bullock or a heifer to the Lord as an offering, or giving the Lord an offering of a portion of the field, the tithe of the field, and they find an animal that is better than the one that they that the one they gave is the best they've got in the flock, and they take a different one and give to the Lord as a sacrifice instead of the best one they've got. The Lord says they're cursed for doing it. The Lord says if they take a portion of their field and gave it to the Lord, and that portion of the field turned out to be the best portion on the field, and they kept it for themselves and give the Lord this other portion over here who didn't grow quite so well and bear so good, God says you're cursed. God says if you make the Lord a vow and don't keep it, you're cursed. If you make the Lord a vow and you can't keep it, then you should ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the Lord to tell the Lord you can't keep the vow or you weren't able to keep it, and ask the Lord to forgive you for it so you're not cursed. And then it goes on to say, "But now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. And if you will not hear, and if you will not lay to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you don't lay it to heart, or you don't believe it." You don't believe it. So today we understand that the head of every house is the priest of the house. So we've got a lot of priests who are responsible to bring praise and worship and give glory unto the Lord. So as the head of the house, we're responsible to praise the Lord. And if we don't, then we are bringing upon our family and upon our lineage a curse upon our family because we don't give God the glory. Because today we are the priest of the household. Then we go over here in chapter 3, and it says, "Will a man rob God?" Verse 8. "Yet you've robbed me." But you say, "When have we robbed thee?" "In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive you." I've had all kinds of people tell me that tithing is Old Testament, and I don't have to pay any attention to it. It's not in the New Testament. Well, it definitely is, and there's scriptures, but I'm not going to turn there for that. You can seek that out for yourself if you're of that persuasion. But I contend that tithing is for today, and offerings are for today. And some people take the word and twist it and say that I can spend the tithe for myself, that it says I can go up to the house of the Lord and I can spend it for myself. Well, they're twisting the scripture when they do that, because they were to take it up to the house of the Lord and use it for the substance that was needed while they were there, and the rest of it was to be put in to sustain the priest and the house of the Lord. And it's not to be twisted, as there's a lot of teaching around twisting the tithing that belongs unto the Lord. But he says if we don't do it, our blessing, we're cursed, and we will have holes in the bottom of our purse. There's a scripture that says that. And then verse 6 says, he says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He says, but you ought to be because of your rebellion. But he says, I don't change. My laws don't change because of who you are or what you believe or what you think. My word is my word. Okay. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's lots and lots of scriptures that we could use and apply and carry on here in this study. But all of these things, as I was confronted with this situation, I had to study to see why my tradition was different than what I was confronted with. And as I studied, I found all of this that I've been bringing to you this afternoon, plus there is a lot more besides, which we really don't have time to go into, but it's enough that you can study for yourself and find what the rest of it. Verse 45 of chapter 28 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not or do not believe the word or the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statute which he commands you and me. And verse 58 says, and if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and wonderful name of the Lord your God, and Jesus is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues many and wonderful and great, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance and sore sickness and long countenance. It's repeated twice there, that long countenance. Continuous. Well, yeah, excuse me. Long and long continuance. They're just on and on and on. You'll not be able to get rid of your sickness until you repent for that which is the cause of it. And sometimes we don't know, but that's where the family, that's where the inherited curses of the 10 generations come in, that we need to pray and believe and break these curses so that we can come out from under these. Moreover, it says, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed, or until you die before your time. And I declare that I'm going to learn and study the word of the Lord and apply it and live by it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to live and not die. Now I'm going to break all the curses and all that's revealed and come to my knowledge, that I may live in health and strength and stand in the day of the Lord, in just as Moses came and he stood in full strength when he went, so and as Caleb came when he was 85 years old and said, I'm as able to take that mountain today as I was 45 years ago when I came here the first time. I'm as able today to take it again. They said, there's giants up there. He said, don't worry about that. Me and God will take care of that. And he did. And we can declare the same today. Well, people, you may say, well, you've read nothing but out of what I call the Old Testament. Well, I don't call it the Old Testament. I call it the book. But for your benefit, we'll go over to Revelation chapter 22. We go to the end of the book, and we find here that Jesus himself is talking at the end of the book, in chapter 22. And he says in verse 12, well, let's go up a little higher than that. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you don't believe, don't argue with him. You tell him what, as I've done this afternoon, and then it's up to you or whoever hears to believe or not believe. And he which is filthy, just let him be filthy still. He who thinks that incest doesn't come down the family line and all this, that he's not cursed with it and needs to be set free from it, he's just be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. Uh-oh, there's something else that we got a whole Bible study in. His work. I thought that I was taught my tradition that everything was by grace. It says here that it's by work also. What is grace? Grace comes. Salvation is grace. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is grace. Healing is grace. That's grace. And then after that, to those who overcome, to the overcomer, to those who, if you're going to overcome, you've got to overcome something. So there's something that you're overcoming. And to he who overcomes, according to his work, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that keep my commandments. Oh, I thought that was all done away with. Well, Jesus says right here at the end of the book, blessed are they that do or keep my commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life which Adam gave away, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So, I believe that curses are real. I believe they come down the ancestral line. But now then, I have another problem, and so do you. How do we get rid of them? So after I found all of this, now I have to find a scriptural basis to find out where I have authority to get rid of them. Well, as when the Lord showed it to me, it became so very simple that it was almost ridiculous. And the word is simple. And anybody can understand it if they look at it just as it says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if we stop right there, all the world is saved, right? That's what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, we've got to finish the verse, don't we? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life everlasting. I thank God that I'm a whosoever. And that you're all whosoevers. And so, I find that the scripture that I took to be, that tradition told me that all the curses were gone when I got saved, I found that that wasn't true. And that wasn't a correct explanation of the verse. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became my curse. But just as Jesus became my salvation and he became my curse, I have to apply the fact that he is my curse. I have to accept the Lord Jesus and acknowledge that he is my Savior and appropriate and apply his blood for the cleansing of my sins. And if I don't do that, I can stay forever and ever and quote the first part of John 3:16 and I still will be unsaved. Same is true with Galatians 3:13. We must appropriate the fact that Jesus became my curse and your curse. And then as we appropriate that and apply it and say, Satan, Jesus became my curse. And I don't have to bear the curse of my ancestral heritage. And I can be free from it. I appropriate the fact that Jesus became my curse and bore it on the tree for me. And then we have the authority to set and break the ancestral curses or the curses that you have gotten yourself under that will go down to your children and grandchildren if they're not broken. We have the place and authority to do it. And so when I found that, then I understood why I could pray that Sunday morning and break the curses for eating blood sausage and blood pudding and break the curse of sugar diabetes. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has sugar diabetes because their ancestral heritage has ate blood sausage and blood pudding or blood soup. But I do know that that is one cause of sugar diabetes. I know that I know that I know it. And hyperglycemia also. But there are also other causes that can be of that also. I know that I know that I know that he who eats too much fat will have plaque and has stopped up arteries. I know that I know that. So no argument that you can argue can change me. Now I also know that I know that I know that we also come under these other curses when we disobey the word of the Lord and participate in these areas and give Satan a right to our life through when we disobey the word of the Lord. I know that I know that. Now I don't know what all these other curses produce in our line in infirmities, However, I know there that in Deuteronomy 28, there are 50-some items listed that God says he'll visit upon us if we disobey his word. Would which one of those apply to what curse that we have, or what might be that would allow that curse to come down? I don't fully understand yet. But I believe that we are gradually coming. The Lord is revealing to different parts of the body of Christ these areas so that we come to an understanding where we will know what sickness is from where and what we need to do and repent of in order to be free from it. I believe that. And I believe we're coming to that. And I believe that the Lord is revealing that to... Now, I'm not the only person that the Lord has showed this to. Now, at the time the Lord showed it to us, I didn't know anybody else who understood this. But, you know, the Lord don't just give these things to just one person and then you're the only guy that knows it and you got to come to me for all that. That's not so. The Lord don't do that. When somebody comes to a truth, you'll find somebody else who also the Lord has shown that truth to. And so don't get the big head and think that you're the only one who knows how to teach or knows what about it, because there's others in the body of Christ that the Lord shows these things to as well. And then it's confirmed as you meet different people or different people come by and said, oh, I heard somebody else. The Lord showed that to somebody else. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's showing to the body of Christ how we can come to holiness and righteousness and live without disease and infirmities in our bodies. Now, we're still all plagued with some things. I got a problem with glasses. I know how it started. I was in an accident when I was 15 years old. Had this side of my head mashed up in a car accident. And from that time on, my left eye has never been the same. But what causes the other eye to go? They say it's old age, but the Lord says that he will renew us as the eagle. So there has to be an area somewhere where we can come to an understanding so we'll be renewed as the eagle. Amen. You know, the eagle, every 7 years, the eagle gets renewed. And I don't know if you, but that's the truth. And we've got a tape back there somewhere in the archives about the eagle and how he renews his youth. And the Lord calls us to be as the eagle and come unto him. We learn to be renewed also. We have to learn how to take care of our body, that we don't sin in what we put into our mouth and what we eat. And there's another whole can of worms there about what we eat. And anyway, I'm not going to teach on that, but I believe the Lord showed that to us back in 1965 by a sovereign act of God. He showed us that we were to watch what we ate. And from then on, we have been obeying it and learning more about it and obeying it to the best of our ability. There will be nothing called unclean served to you in this place. You can go home and eat what you like, but as far as we're concerned, we do not eat anything that the Scripture calls unclean. And you say, well, I can find scriptures in the Bible that says that it's clean. I said I wasn't going to get into that, didn't I? Well, I'll go a little farther. The main scripture that tradition uses is where Peter had his vision. But if you will study Peter's vision and study what Peter said about his vision, you will find that it had nothing to do with Peter eating what he saw in the vision. What Peter saw in that vision represented tribes of people, and everything he saw in that vision represented a tribe. The tribes had what was known and still is known as a standard or a flag. Here's our standard back here. That's ours. Other clans and nations have standards that have pictures of animals in them or on them. And in Peter's day, the clans and the different tribes had standards that had these different animals that he saw in that vision. And if you'll read, when Peter was called before the brethren, he very thoroughly explains that to the brethren and explains it. So to use that scripture as a basis to be able to eat what you want to, you're twisting the scripture. And that is not what it was given to Paul for or for to Peter for at all. It was given to him three times, wasn't it? How many people stood at the door when the door was answered? Three men. A vision for each one. And each one of them was what? A heathen. Scripture says, the mistranslation says Gentile. That's a mistranslation. They were called heathen. And in the original scriptures, they were called heathen. And not Gentiles. I am not a Gentile. I am not a heathen. I am a child of the King. And I'm not a heathen. I'm not a Gentile. Amen. Well, I've got an article on one of the magazines that tells you and goes through that in great detail. And I think it's back there. I don't know if it's back there or not. If it's not, we'll find someone put out there. But I think it's back there. I think it was. Anyway. Well, we've come this far now. What are we going to do? We're going to do something about some of this. Amen? Okay. To the best of my ability, to what I understand, the Lord has given us authority to come against these ancestral curses and to break them and to set you and me free. And as the Lord shows us, I believe there's areas of curses that I don't know about yet, that I'm still maybe under, but I'm open to be set free from anything that the Lord shows to anybody about it. That I can be set free. But I do know that some of you are under the curse of incest. Some of you are under the curse of adultery. Some of you are under the curse of bestiality. Some of you are under the curse of the bastard, illegitimacy. Because who knows? Can you tell me what your great-grandfather did, let alone even your father? So I believe that these areas exist in all of our lives until they're broken. So this afternoon, we're going to take authority over these areas, and we're going to break them in the name of Jesus. Amen. You agree with me? Okay. I'm going to come as the priest in all of our behalf here this afternoon, and we're going to come before the Lord. And I'm going to take the place and come against these areas and break them over everybody that's here in the sound of my voice or that listens to this tape and believes as they listen to this tape and receives what I've taught here this afternoon, that they too will be set free and the curses will be broken from them, from their ancestral heritage. And this is one portion of Joel's prophecy, that our blood will be cleansed. Where our blood is being cleansed as these areas of our lives are being, we're being set free in these areas of our lives. Father, I come this evening, this afternoon. I come in the name that's above every name, that name to which you give us authority, the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. You said it, and it is written, Satan, that Jesus said that we could come in his name, and that he would give us his name, the authority of his name, to set the captives free. So this afternoon, Father, I come in the name of your Son, our Redeemer and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I take authority over the curse of incest. I take authority over the curse of the bastard. I take authority over the curse of abortion. I take authority over the curse of Moloch. I take authority over the curse of bestiality. I take authority over the curse of homosexuality and lesbianism. I take authority over the curse of uncleanliness and filth and filthy thoughts and uncleanliness of the mind. I come and take authority over this. I take authority over the spirits of anger and rage that have come down through the family line. I take authority over the curse of alcohol and wine and strong drink. I take authority over it. Take authority over the spirit of rebellion. I take authority over the spirit of rebellion, and I bind these spirits. Father, I ask you for the angels of the Lord to come here this afternoon and to help us and as we deal in these areas, Father. I thank you for it. Father, I take Satan's rights away, and now I take and I bind these spirits. I bind them that they'll not tear nor harm. I bind them to the day of judgment. Thank you, Father, for sending an angel of the Lord here to bind them up and keep them till Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. And then, Father, I take authority and command them in Jesus' name to come out of these people. For it is written, Satan, in Galatians 3:13, that Jesus became our curse, that he bore our curse on the tree, and that he became our curse. So with the authority that Jesus became my curse and our curse, I take authority over these ancestral heritage curses, and I break their rights, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate, and I put the blood of Jesus between the curse and between each one present and each one who shall ever hear my voice and will apply and appropriate it. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate, and I loose them from the ancestral heritage of these curses, and I set them free now in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirits, you familiar spirits, I bind you of witchcraft and sorcery. I break your assignment. I put the blood of Jesus. I go back for 15, 20 generations, 30 generations in the family line, and I break these curses, and I take authority over the familiar spirits, and I bind them to the dead judgment. Come out of these people. Set them free in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Everybody, take a deep breath. Loose them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out. All you familiar spirits that have a right because of the ancestor heritage, I take authority over you, and I break your assignment, and I command you to come out in Jesus' name. I loose these people from it. I loose them from your assignment. You'll not have any more authority over them. I bind and break your dominion, and I loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of them. Loose them. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the authority that you give us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we take that place of authority. We stand in Jesus' name and set the captives free here this afternoon. I thank you for it, Father. Spirits of infirmity, you spirits of infirmity, come down the family line. I bind you. I break your assignment. Spirits of high blood pressure, spirits of low blood pressure, spirits of heart trouble, spirits of mental problems. I bind the spirits of mental problems. So spirits of sugar diabetes, spirits of hyperglycemia. I bind your power and break you. Spirits of kidney problems, spirits of bladder problems, spirits of liver problems, gallbladder problems. I bind you, foul spirits. Spirits of problems with the pancreas. I bind you and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I bind you, spirits of infirmity, spirits of problems with the intestines, with the stomach. I bind you in Jesus' name. Spirits of problems with the skin, skin disorders. I bind you and break your assignment. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Cause you to wither and die just as Jesus cursed the fig tree. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Cause you to wither and die. To skin infirmities, I rebuke you. I break your assignment. I cause you to wither in Jesus' name. I break the curses in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for the authority that you give us. I thank you, Father, that Jesus is Lord, and in him is the fullness of life. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you. I thank you for the blood of Calvary. I thank you for the blood of Calvary. Father, I thank you for that which you suffered at Gethsemane for our infirmities, for our iniquities. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it, for Jesus. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that that you consented to suffer for me and for each one of us here. I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for allowing Jesus to go to the whipping post. And I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I appropriate the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post. And I command our bodies to receive healing, the virtue of the Lord Jesus by the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post. I command healing to come into our physical bodies. I command healing to come. I command you, body, receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. Body, I command you to begin to restore yourself. I command you to begin to come back to normal. Whatever's wrong with the metabolism, I curse you in Jesus' name. Whatever's wrong with the thyroid, I curse you in Jesus' name. I speak healing and resurrection into your physical body by the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post that Jesus suffered for the healing of our bodies. I speak to us in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you. I appropriate that which you have provided for us by your word. I appropriate it, for it is written that Jesus became and suffered for my infirmities. It is written that Jesus became sin for my sins. It is written that he suffered in the garden for my infirmities, for my iniquities. And I appropriate that for us this afternoon. I thank you for it, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you. Explain or tell what you have done. It's beyond what tongue can tell. It is beyond. But I praise you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it. Throughout eternity, I will never fully understand all that you have done for us at Calvary and at the whipping post and in the garden, what you did for us. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Now, Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us to rightly apply and appropriate it, that we can have health in all of our flesh. Now, I come against the spirit of death. Spirit of death, I bind you. Untimely death, I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I rebuke you. Spirit of untimely death, I bind you and break your assignment in Jesus' name. I loose us from you in the name of the Jesus. Come out of us. Come out. Untimely death, I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Break your assignment in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Curse of death. Anyone spoken against you, spoken that they wish you die, or spoken a curse of death against you, I break it and I loose you from it in Jesus' name. I speak life to you. You shall live and not die. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It is written that we promised 70 years, 70. And I appropriate that for every one of us this afternoon. We shall live that which has been promised to us and not die. And then we shall live by the grace of the Lord, that which He gives us in the years beyond that. Father, I appropriate to us the fullness of life in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I come against the spirit of cancer. I come against the spirit of leukemia. I come against the spirit of blood and bone diseases. I bind your power and break your assignment over our bodies in Jesus' name. I break the curse of it. I loose us from it. Lord, if there's something deficient in our bodies that we need, show it to us. Bring it to us by somebody or something we read or something. Show us, Lord, that we can give our bodies sufficient that is needed for health. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Lupus. I come against lupus. I bind the spirit of lupus. Valentine's. I bind the spirit of lupus. Valentine's. In Jesus' name. I break the bondage. I break the curse of it. I break the curse of participating in the Valentine's celebration of Valentine's Day. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. Bring understanding to us so we understand that that's a demonic celebration, the celebrating Valentine's Day. And from Valentine's Day comes the curse of lupus disease. I curse that. Lupus is known as the wolf disease. Lupus, Valentine's, and wolf disease is all the same thing. And I break the curse of it over anyone here that it might be trying to attach itself to. And I loose us from the celebration of Valentine's Day that we all have done ignorantly. Father, I thank you for giving us understanding in these areas. You say, oh, that was so innocent. Yes, but Satan...
I will not die.
That's right. You're not dying. Curse of death, I break it over you and him in Jesus' name. I loose it over him. Brother George, lay hands on him. Break that in Jesus' name. I loose that from him. He'll not die. He'll live. We break the curse of it over him in Jesus' name. Come out of him. Loose him in Jesus' name. Come out. Loose him. Loose him in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Amen. Amen. We'll live and not die. We'll live to glorify the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's all raise our hands and say that together. We'll live and not die. We'll live to glorify the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come out of him. Come out. He'll live and not die, devil. He'll live and not die. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Man. Loose him. Loose him in Jesus' name. Come out. Break it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come out. Man, we break it. Angel of the Lord, bind him up. Come on out. Come on out. Come on. Loose him. Loose him. Loose him. That's it. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on out. Come on. Scripture says that with loud crying they came out. He's come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on, we break your assignment over him. Jesus is Lord. Come on out. Come on. Come on. Loose him. Loose him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on. Loose him. Loose him. Bind you. Break your assignment over him. Loose him. That's it. Come out. All unclean spirits. All unclean spirits. Come out of him. Come out. Come out. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes him. The blood of the blood. The blood. Oh, the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood. The blood of Jesus. Loose him. The blood. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Loose him. Loose him. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on. The blood. We put the blood of Jesus against you, devil. Put the blood. The blood of Jesus. We put the blood against you. We break your assignment. That's right. This is not your home anymore. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He will walk in robes of white. He will walk in. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He will walk in robes of white. This is not your house. This is the temple of the living God. Loose him. Loose him. Loose him. Sing, oh, the blood. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord and ask the Holy Ghost to come into every area. Father, we praise you. We bless you. We bless your name. We praise you. We thank you, Father. And Father, we ask the Holy Ghost to fill every area of our vessels that's been vacated. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us, O God. Move by your Spirit in our midst. Break it out. Change us from the inside out, Lord. Move by your Spirit amongst us. Fill us with thy glory and with thy majesty. A temple of glory unto thee. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.